Welcome to Limitless, the Blind Beginnings podcast where we discuss tips, tricks, and current topics related to all things in the blind and partially sighted community. Now, it is my pleasure to introduce the founder of Blind Beginnings and your host, Sean Marcellet, and whatever co-host is on this week. Now, here's your host, Sean.
Welcome back to Limitless, the Blind Beginnings podcast. I'm your host, Sean Marcellet, and with me today, I have two co-hosts, Nika and Colby. Welcome, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
And I'm going to actually turn it over to Nika to introduce us to our topic today, because this was her idea. So tell us what we're talking about.
So today we're going to be talking about everyone's favorite time of the year, she said very sarcastically, which is back to school. And I thought it would be really fun to do this topic because of COVID and everything's kind of different. And we have people from a wide variety of places in terms of their educational studies and diversity. And I think it would be interesting to kind of listen to different perspectives.
Awesome. And who did you invite to join us today?
So here with us, we have Colby, Ella, Amin, and Jill.
Awesome. So all five of you are going back to school, but all in different places. Well, why don't we start by introducing everybody to our listeners? So level of vision, what you're taking at school, what grade you're in, if you're in a grade. Nika, why don't you start us off?
Okay, so my vision is kind of weird to describe, but basically most of it is in my left eye, and I can see shapes, colors, and light, but I can't see specific details of objects. And where I am in my studies, it's kind of weird. I'm kind of in a kind of in-between stage because I did the music program at CAPU for a year, and after taking some electives, I realized that what I wanted to do was work in the nutrition and health field and help people. And during this pandemic, I've had a lot of time to do some research. So this year, I'm going to be taking some general courses until the pandemic settles down, and then I'll be able to transfer and take some science classes in person.
Awesome. That is quite a switch.
Yeah.
Colby, what about you?
So my vision, I used to be able to see quite a bit. Now I have pretty much no vision. I can tell when it's really sunny out because it bothers my eyes, and I will put sunglasses on. I've been going to university for quite a few years now. I'm working towards a Bachelor of Science in Biology. In the fall, I'm going to be going back to my local college to complete some courses so that I can transition to UBC in Vancouver, hopefully for the following fall semester.
Ella, let's go to you.
Oh, hi, this is Ella. I'm going into grade 12 next year, and I don't really know what I want to do after high school, to be perfectly honest. So, like, yeah, I don't know. I am taking a pretty academic course load. Last year I took biology, physics, English, I think those were my, and social studies. Next year I will not be taking any sciences because, well, I suck at physics. I actually did bio 12 last year because bio 11 was just not too visual for me apparently, and chemistry, just, I don't know, I just don't love it, even though I guess I can be good at it. So yeah. And as far as the pandemic is concerned, yeah, there have been some challenges, but like it was okay. As far as how much vision I have no vision, and I was born without any vision. I have light perception in my right eye though.
Okay. Awesome. So our one guest today that is going back to high school, Jill, tell us about you and welcome back to our podcast, by the way.
Yeah, second time back. Mm-hmm. So I'm Jill. My vision, I have an eye condition called retinopathy of prematurity. So I've been fully blind in my left eye my whole life, and I was low vision in my right until I was 15, and now I'm totally blind in both. And I'm going to Simon Fraser University, where I'm going into my fourth year, And I'm taking a communications degree and a publishing minor.
So, awesome. Yeah. And last but not least, Amen.
Yeah, so I also have the same condition as Jill. I have retinopathy prematurity. I grew up with light perception only, no other vision than that. And as for school, I'm actually starting a new program, which I'm really excited about. I'm going to be going to music therapy at Capilano University. And it's been my dream for several years, and I've been working towards that. So it's really cool to see it finally come to fruition.
And I'm not going back to school, but I do have a soon-to-be seven-year-old returning to grade two. So I have a different perspective probably as a parent, but certainly may weigh in at some point in this conversation. So COVID happened, kind of caught us all off guard. Curious to know what that was like for each of you, just being thrown into all of a sudden you're not going to school anymore.
So SFU, everything went on online about, I think it was like the end of March, beginning of April. So right before the end of the semester. So that got really confusing because all of a sudden all our lectures were like Zoom call lectures. So we had to figure out how to do that. And that was kind of right when Zoom kind of took off. So at the time I didn't know how accessible that was going to be. So I got really stressed out about like, the fact, am I going to be able to join my lectures and like the discussions and everything. Thankfully, I didn't actually have any final exams, so I didn't have to worry about that aspect. But I did have a group project that we had to do all virtually, which turned out to be rather difficult because like they wanted to use Google Hangouts, I think it's called, and I didn't know how to use that at the time. So like we had to find a whole bunch of like workarounds for the little like accessible technology that I used and what they had to use. It got really complicated because there was like a term, like a whole big term project with like, I think there was five of us. So that got super complicated and we made it work, but we didn't do very good. But then my school also did the pass fail option. So you can either take like your normal grade, whatever it would have been, or you could choose the pass option, which would show up as a letter P on your transcripts. So you still get the credit for that course, but it doesn't like affect your overall GPA or anything like that. And because of COVID and just everything else that had gone on around that time, I ended up having to take the P option or pass option for all three of my classes that semester. So now my transcript has all these weird letters going on. So it looks kind of weird, but it all kind of worked out in the end. So.
How does that impact your GPA then?
It turns out, so I was really nervous because I thought it was going to affect like me being able to take upper level courses or eventually go to grad school. I was really concerned about that. Mm-hmm. So I talked to an academic advisor at my university who basically told me that don't worry about it. It's fine. We're all trying to figure it out together. So we still get the credit for whatever courses we took. So I was taking a science elective at the time and I struggle with sciences. So I was really worried that I wouldn't get credit and I'd have to take another science course, but it turns out I got the credit for it. So it's fine. So it doesn't really affect your overall GPA. Your GPA kind of stays where it was before these classes you chose the pass option for. You just have weird letters on your transcript now, but it doesn't affect anything else, which was actually really nice.
Is this a new thing that came to be because of COVID? I don't know if I've ever heard of a pass fail option.
Yeah. So it was, I believe, because of COVID, my school actually did, all the students kind of did this big petition that went around online through like all the like Facebook groups and all this stuff about signing a petition for the pass fail because we didn't feel that we were getting enough support from the school and our professors to complete our courses for that semester. Mm-hmm. Because like as soon as everything went online, like the teachers and TAs wouldn't answer our emails and we had no idea what was going on with our classes. Like everything was so up in the air. And we were just trying to finish our semester, like that kind of thing, right? So that's how, like, I believe it became a thing because of COVID. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of relieving that it was an option just because there's so much going on with COVID and some other family stuff I had going on. That there was no way that I could have finished my classes or done well in them because of that.
Sounds stressful.
Oh, it was awful. But it all kind of thankfully worked out, but it was quite stressful.
Haven't, did any of your, the other schools represented here have that option as well? What happened for you, Omen?
Yeah, so CAP also adopted the pass-fail option as well, I believe. I didn't end up taking it. My semester actually ended up going pretty well, all things considered. It was a little bit iffy in the beginning because I was finishing up my second year of the music diploma. And because music is such a hands-on program, we were all super worried about what online classes were going to look like. So it was scary, but it worked out in the end. I also had a group project that I had to work on, and it was really difficult. And we actually also had to present to the rest of our class over Zoom. So that was really interesting. But yeah, I think overall it was quite well. I didn't miss the commuting. I was actually living on res at the time. And as soon as everything went online, I ended up leaving residence and moving back home with my parents.
Yeah. Might as well be with
exactly.
Comforts of home, right?
and save money too, right? That's always a good option. Yeah.
Look, you're so positive about this. Whereas I like doing music during COVID, I'm like, it was bad. It was terrible. It was the worst experience of my life. I was so like negative about it. Just because it was kind of a lot, like my, you know, mark in music theory, because I wasn't able to really stay after class and ask my professor questions. So like my mark dropped from an A+ to a C. And even like a lot of things like choir or like sight singing, where we would have to tap out rhythms and like practice reading music. I would follow the class to kind of like follow along and know what to do. Whereas over Zoom, all of us had to mute ourselves and sing, and I couldn't hear anyone else. So I didn't actually know what I was doing. Luckily, like I figured it out, and like our professor sent us recordings to practice with. But I think like from a kind of mental health standpoint, it was really hard not being in a choir, just because I've been in one for the past 10 years and it kind of contributed a lot to my identity as a person. And also doing like PMIs or private music instruction over Skype was kind of interesting, because the way like Skype cancellation works is like if someone plays the piano and you sing, you can't actually hear the piano. So I had to do a lot of it a cappella or without music, which was kind of interesting.
Yeah, that sounds, that's, I don't know, that sounds hard. I think the beautiful part about choir is hearing all the voices around you, right? So yeah, if you can't hear that, it feels like I'm just singing by myself, putting myself out there, feeling silly.
Nika and I are in the same program, and we had choir together, and I'm sure Nika can attest to how awful the choir rehearsals were, because yeah, we all had to mute and it was awful because we couldn't hear each other. And it was just like the saddest thing. And, you know, everyone's choir seasons were canceled, and it was pretty devastating. So
And I remember once our choir prof wanted to do an experiment and told like all of the sopranos or all of one section to unmute and try singing a warm-up simultaneously. And that ended so badly because it was all like lagging and out of sync.
So Ella, I just asked you before we started recording whether you went back to school for June, and you said you didn't. My son did go back for just that 1 month. He went 2 days a week for 4 weeks, and there was only 3 kids in the half of his class on the days that he went. So him and 2 other kids, definitely wasn't like real school. He enjoyed it, but yeah, they didn't get to do any of the things he loves. So recess was just that small group of kids in a designated area. There was no gym class, which is his favorite subject. You know, all the things like the computer lab and things like that, where everybody's sharing the same equipment, wasn't an option. All of the toys and books in the classroom were all put away. So it was certainly a challenging time, and then sort of balancing online for part of it and in person for part of it. So it makes me weary of what September is going to look like. I'm curious how you guys are feeling about going back.
For me, I don't really know. Like, September is going to be interesting. They're trying to get us back full time. But like, for me, I'm fortunate that I am good with technology, and I actually like, I am okay and totally cool with online learning for most subjects. The subject where I would have serious problems with online learning is math. Because, you know, with math, there's all this braille, all those braille sheets, all those diagrams, you know, whereas like with the other classes, teachers can just send me docs files and I can read them and I can like, and they will send all their content in like electronic format. So I can digest that easily and I can answer. I basically just read and answer the questions and I'm done. Easy as that. And I actually kind of like it because, well, I spend less time on school and I feel like I spend less time on it and I feel like I have more time to kind of just do what I spend time on my own things. But then I'd say the main issue with online learning, I felt like, was that we were kind of doing less stuff and it was kind of just trimmed down. As for math and physics last year, oh my god, that, like, I'd say especially physics. With physics, my physics teacher's videos were just so unclear and they made absolutely no sense. So my parents had to teach me every single thing, and I actually have a hard time with physics, so like that made it a lot worse. With math, I was so darn fortunate to have a math teacher whose videos were crystal clear and his notes were crystal clear, so I figured out the math mostly on my own. I had to get a bit of parental help, but I figured it out and I actually did okay. But like next year, my math teacher will probably be someone totally different, who is a totally different teaching style. And if it was going to be online, I might have a lot more difficulty.
That's a good point. I'm sure some teachers, well, I mean, just in general, some teachers are better than other teachers, but I'm guessing some teachers adapted quicker to this online format than others. Did you guys have the experience of seeing the range?
Yeah, so I had I have one instructor with my publishing program who I've had her twice now and soon to be three times, and she was very quick to adapt. She quickly figured out Zoom, and because like our lectures were still the same time like of the week but just on Zoom now, so she quickly adapted. But I had another professor who, like, as soon as everything went online, he like panicked and didn't send out any emails, didn't tell us anything about the lecture, about our assignments. We were all so stressed out because he's the one like leading our course and he's the one supposed to be telling us what to do and how this is going to work. And he just, like, there's no communication, which is ironic because he's a communications instructor. So that was super stressful.
I guess this pandemic is happening to everybody, and teachers, instructors, professors, they're all human too. And everyone was having their own reaction, right? Like emotional or social or medical or whatever to what was going on. And yeah, like having to keep doing your job through this chaos, I know personally for me was also challenging. So I have some sympathy for these teachers, but I also can see how that impacted all the students just sort of desperately waiting to find out what's going to happen.
Yeah. And I know for this, like in September when the new semester starts, I am not very good with technology. Unlike Ella, like Ella seems very good with technology. I'm not. And I get very panicky and I don't know how something's going to work right away. It's very unfortunate that our school website is actually quite inaccessible. So I need I have an assistant provided through my university who helps me with any visual content, which unfortunately includes the school website, because navigating it with accessible technology and my lack of experience with accessible technology makes it very difficult to go read my course assignments or the discussion boards for our tutorials or like even my grades. Like, I'll go look and I'll look at my grade and then I'll ask my assistant to double check. And it's something completely different than what VoiceOver tells me. So it's really finicky and super frustrating. I'm really nervous about the fall. And that's why I usually take about three classes a semester. But for the fall, I'm only taking two, just because I don't know what it's going to be like. I'm fine with those Zoom lectures. I know how to use Zoom. I figured that one out on my own. But I know for one, I'm doing a publishing class, and it's like the book publishing process. So from manuscripts all the way up to like print and like publication and distribution and stuff. So it's really interesting, but I know it's a lot of group work. Mm. And again, given the experience I had at the end of last semester with the group project, I'm again kind of skeptical for all of this. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I can relate to that whole technology thing. And it's so stressful to have to learn it when you absolutely need it. Like it's one, in an ideal world, you have this spare time where you're just kind of bored out of your mind. And hey, I think I want to learn how to use Zoom today or Google Hangouts or whatever. But who has that?
Exactly. Right?
It's always like, we have to connect tomorrow using Google Hangouts. And you're like, but I don't know how.
It's like, what is that? Like, yes. I have no idea.
Yeah, it's like, I've never even heard of, well, actually, I think I have heard of Zoom because I think we might have used it before, but I never actually really got to like learn Zoom and learn what it was and learn all the different features until COVID happened.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Some of you are, so I think Colby, you weren't in school at the beginning of COVID. So you're going back like to kind of a whole new unknown situation.
Yeah. So originally I started in January, but my school couldn't provide enough support. So I ended up having to drop the course that I was taking. So now I'm going to be going in September. Unfortunately, I have to take a math course, which I'm really not looking forward to, and having it online. Mm-hmm. So I think the Zoom part will be fine because I know and I'm comfortable using Zoom, but at the same time, I'm not sure how everything else is going to work out.
I just want to check this out with you guys because some of you are probably more techie than I am. When you're in Zoom and someone shares their screen, are you able to access that material?
No.
Right. Okay, good. Because sometimes I just think it's me. Like, maybe this is accessible, but I just don't know how to do it.
I just know that like when we were doing the Zoom lectures for the last bit of last semester, it has a chat option. So basically like everyone, like all the students were muted except for, and then the professor or instructor was obviously giving the lecture. And like either we could unmute ourselves to ask a question or we could type it in like a little chat space on the platform, and I can't type fast enough on my phone to ask a question in the chat before she moves on to the next topic or whatever, right?
Yeah,
so I got relieved. I'm like, well, what if I have a question? And like, but like, of course, right as the lecture's over, everyone leaves, so she's not sticking around. She refers to a lot of readings and a lot of videos, and so a lot of like external materials to help kind of formulate her lecture and whatever, right? Because publishing actually gets rather complicated. So she's sharing all these links in the chat, but like for me to go and click on it and have VoiceOver read it, it's gonna like go over top of her talking. So I can't follow along with that material and listen to her talk at the same time. So that got really stressful as well.
Well, that's another thing. I haven't figured out if somebody shares a link in the chat, how to copy that link or even click on it. I don't know how to do that. I don't know. Is that a thing?
Like, to me,
is that a possible thing?
Like, wouldn't you be able to double tap it and it should open? But I don't know if that would affect like the way Zoom is running or not. Because if you click on the link, it'll in theory take you to a different page or a different app or whatever. Mm-hmm. So then Zoom to me would be affected a little bit. And then, like I said, I know VoiceOver tends to interrupt the person talking because I've tried it on a phone call. Like I've gone and looked at something else we were talking about in the call and like I couldn't hear what the person was saying anymore.
Yeah.
So it just gets so complicated and then VoiceOver likes to interrupt a lot.
Used Zoom on my laptop and I found it a bit easier to manage. I don't know about the chat function and trying to get links from there, but I always use Zoom on the computer.
So do I actually.
During classes.
And it is easier, I think.
And I have a Mac laptop and I find Zoom very difficult to navigate and use on my Mac. So that's why I always use it. Oh, yay.
I use a Mac.
Okay, sweet. Please teach me.
I also use a Mac, and by use a Mac, I mean don't know how to use a Mac.
Like, I know the basics of it. I just, like, to navigate a web page, I find so frustrating on a Mac compared to the PC I used to have.
Yeah.
So
I can teach you some tricks for sure.
Please do. That'd be so helpful. It's so frustrating. And again,
ironic that the Gen Zs are asking help from the millennial on technology.
Yeah, it's fair. I don't know what I am anymore. But yeah, I, my school website, like I said, is very inaccessible to navigate. So is, of course, our online library. So if I have papers and stuff to write this semester, I literally have to sit there with my assistant on the phone, getting her help navigating the websites, which is like, I mean, technically that's her job to help me with that kind of stuff that I can't access on my own, but it's still like, it'd be nice. Okay, I'm 23, I'll be 24 soon. I should be able to do this kind of stuff for myself, but because I'm so inexperienced with accessible technology, because I haven't really had to use it until I lost all my sites. So like, I'm kind of in a way new to the game. So it's, I feel like kind of behind on everything. So it gets frustrating.
It is frustrating that, like, instead of worrying about the course material or being excited about the course material, you're worried about the technology aspect, right?
Yeah.
Am I going to be able to follow along and do all the things that are expected, which is this added layer?
Well, we have, so all of my classes, because it depends on your program, at least in my school, but all of my communication and publishing classes have tutorials or labs where we have discussions on the readings, which is kind of boring, but it's fine. But these discussions, because they're not going to be all online, they're in a discussion platform on the school website.
Mm-hmm.
So you post, like, I don't know, either your comment about this, that week's reading or whatever, but I don't know how to do that. And I don't have a lot of time to learn how to do that. And again, like, the website itself is inaccessible as it is. So it's like, how am I going to keep up with the discussions? Because we have to post our own opinion, but we also have to comment on someone else's, like, discussion topic or whatever.
Yes.
So, like, trying to keep up with all that, and, like, which one did I comment on, and did they reply? Like, I don't know anymore. Like, I just get so lost, and then I get frustrated, and I just kind of, I need to walk away so I don't get mad, basically.
Yeah.
But you only have a certain amount of time to post these discussions, right? Like, if you, like, Tuesday night at by midnight or whatever, like, you have a certain amount of time to do it, so you can't spend a lot of time trying to post your comment, but also trying to figure out how the platform works with VoiceOver, right? So it's like a whole big problem I have going on. But
I did an online master's program, and everything you're saying is bringing it all back for me. I did figure it out.
You guys have to deal with the whole procrastination, not being motivated thing for online courses.
I don't work well from home, it turns out. I love getting up, getting ready, going on the bus, going to meet friends for coffee, going to lecture, then studying after. Like, I love being physically in person for lectures and tutorials and just being on campus. And I don't work well from home, just because to me there's so many more distractions than on campus, because everyone and everything on campus is kind of designed for learning, right? As we're at home, oh, like, my TV's there and Netflix, or hey, my bed's right beside my desk, or like, oh,
I'm being distracted by this poster of this really cute Olympic swimmer that I like.
Exactly. Like, oh, I need to unload my dishwasher and clean my counters. Like, I need to clean my house. So I procrastinate by cleaning, which is, like, good and not good.
Productive procrastination.
That's it. Yeah. So I'm actually really excited with the hopes that, we're turning the spare room into kind of an office, because, like, I'm doing school from home, and then, like, my boyfriend's doing work from home. So we both work better with no distractions. So we have a separate room for specifically just doing work. So I'm hoping that's going to help me be a bit more motivated and not procrastinate so much, because it's a separate room where my desk is going to be. And that's all that's in there to distract me is my desk. So, like,
it's
hoping that's going to work.
Interesting what you said about, like, getting up and getting ready and going out, like, getting ready now for a Zoom meeting, you know, whether your video's even on, but if it is on, you only need the top of you, like, being in your pajama pants, but trying to work and feel like you're at work is Not I that I'm doing that at all, I but I'm just like, saying.
I'll change from pajamas, even like in just like sweatpants or yoga pants or like leggings. To me, that's still like some, like if yeah. I stay in my pajamas all day, I don't do anything. I just get lazy. Mm-hmm. So even if I just change into leggings, it's still like, okay, I got up and got dressed. Like kind of something.
Amen, you're starting this new program. Are you, how are you feeling about going back?
I'm a little nervous. So my program is actually going to be in person.
Oh, it is. Okay.
It is. Yeah. So I will get the, you know, joy of getting up in the morning, getting ready, taking the bus. I'll be moving back to residence in a couple of weeks as well. Which is also going to be interesting because they're operating very differently because of COVID this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so no roommates. Everybody's going to be in their own room, which is nice. Not that I had to worry about roommates ever. And our dining hall, they've removed all the tables. And so it's going to be takeout options only. So, you know, you go in and you get your food and you go back to your room. I don't mind because I'm going to be on campus 5 days a week. For me, it'll be easier to go to the dining hall, grab my food and throw it in my bag and then head off to school. So that works for me. I think what's going to be interesting is a whole social distancing aspect on campus. You know, I don't have enough vision to tell how far away from someone I am. My guide dog isn't trained to socially distance. So that's definitely going to make things interesting. I'm happy that the program's going to be online. I'm going to be in 8 classes though. So we'll see what happens. I can't pick because of the way the program is. So I don't have a choice.
Will it be all the same people in each class?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a very small program. There's only going to be 20 students.
Oh, wow.
So I think that is part of the reason why they're doing it online. We start practicums in January, which I'm also a little nervous about. Our first practicum is going to be long-term care. And obviously, everything's going to be very dependent on what happens with COVID in the next several months. And then there's the whole, you know, starting a brand new program, meeting brand new professors and students, and how are they going to view me and my blindness? Am I going to make friends? You know, all those little things when you're starting with new people that kind of sit there in the back of your mind. And, you know, how are things going to be different with COVID?
Yeah, there's no kind of, I don't know, even just casually meeting in the cafeteria lineup.
Yeah, exactly.
and then sitting together, right? Like that's not an option. Or even just people who maybe would have come and connected with you, but because of COVID are keeping their distance. And
yeah,
I can see
and
that.
And just the overall feel of the campus, like it's going to be so quiet. Most programs are going to be online. There's hardly going to be students on campus. So that's going to be a very strange experience as well.
Yeah, now like they have a rule, they sent out an email saying that you have to wear a mask in all the common areas.
Yeah, so it's going to be wearing masks every day at school as well. Oh. And, you know, with the music program, I'm not taking any singing or voice classes this semester, but like you can't sing with a mask on. You just can't.
When you breathe, you go to take a deep breath in and you suck the mask right out of your face.
I'm curious to know as well, because like I'm taking like mostly online, but I'm taking choir and like a singing private just so I can have an excuse to leave the house and go to campus. And I'm like, how is this going to work? Like, how is singing going to work? How is doing choir, even if it's smaller groups, how is that going to work in terms of droplets and transmission?
Yeah, it's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
Since you brought up guide dog, and I know Colby is in the same boat, how are people responding to the guide dog, and what happens when your dog gets you too close to somebody without you realizing it? Because they weren't trained during a pandemic where they had to learn to keep their distance, right?
Yeah. I would say that there's been a couple times where my dog has gotten really close to somebody, and the person, they didn't realize that it was a dog. I was with my parents at the time, and they said, oh, that lady was ready to yell at you, but then she saw your dog and was like, oh, and kind of like backed off. Yeah. But yeah, it's hard because for me, especially having my dog, it gives you confidence and independence to go places. But with that, I don't feel like, or I don't feel as confident because I can't see the people and my dog doesn't know to stay back. It's definitely a challenge with that too. Like, I'm trying to be more careful, but at the same time, I still need to go places for me and also for the dog, because the dog just hasn't gotten out as much. He has like all this energy that needs to get burned off.
Mm-hmm. I bet.
I can relate. Yeah.
I had a guide dog for like a year, and you know, some days it would just be going out for a walk around the block, like, you know, a big block, yeah. but that's not necessarily working the dog in the same way, like getting on and off buses or navigating through crowds or crossing busy streets or like any of those things that they, I'm assuming if they don't do those for a long period of time, they get a bit rusty.
I don't know. I mean, I'll find out. I haven't done any of that stuff since March, really.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, that's another concern for me as well. I mean, I was at my campus residence yesterday to check out the place, and Robin was super excited because she's like, I know this place. And she did perfectly fine guiding me around. And I think she'll do just as fine at school. She'll pick things back up, but there's probably going to be a week or so at least where things will be rusty. I know that the instructors of the schools have been telling us that, you know, the dogs are smart and they'll pick things back up, but it's not exactly reassuring when you're putting your trust, you know, and your life in the paws of a little creature that's easily distracted. So
I had a friend who, she broke her ankle or her foot and couldn't work the dog for like 6 to 8 months or something like that. And her dog picked it up. Like when they got back on their feet, literally, her dog like instantly knew what's up. Like it was like flawless. Like nothing ever happened.
Oh, that's good.
So they definitely do. They remember. It's like kind of like for them, it's like riding a bike. They know how it works and what to do, even if they haven't done it for a while, from some of my friends' experiences.
Ella, I wanted to ask you how you're feeling that you're going back for your last year of high school. How are you feeling about having to do that during a pandemic?
I am nervous because like about my future, like I have to think about what I'm going to do after high school. And I don't really know, like I kind of just lost basically since the pandemic. I really wasn't sure how things were going to move forward. I really just crossed my fingers that things will be normal, will be okay. But I don't really have a ton of control over things. Like, for example, with my instrumental ensembles, I wasn't even sure if my orchestra would rehearse from September onwards. Like, are they just going to do online orchestra where maybe you just play over Zoom and everyone mutes or whatever? Are we just going to do those projects where we record our parts separately and someone mixes them together? Mm-hmm. I mean, like I have ironically become extremely involved in an online community that does those projects where everyone records parts separately and mixes them together, but that's not a replacement for real ensemble playing. That's just a supplemental activity that I do because I think it's fun and I think it's also cool being able to meet people from around the world. But like doing these types of projects with your real orchestra friends, I don't know. I wouldn't like that too much. So like, as far as school is concerned, yeah, maintaining physical distance is gonna be kind of challenging. And I think also for me, I think people, I'm worried people might be looking at me crazy me touching things all the time, but you know what? When you're blind, you just have to touch things more. It's for your physical safety. If you don't feel your way around, you could bump into stuff and hurt yourself. And I am more worried about that than actually getting the virus, to be honest.
Oh, that's a really good point, because I've definitely been feeling that myself when I have taken transit and out in the world, anywhere away from home. I'm very conscious of every surface I touch and how many times I'm touching things just to get a reference point of where I am. And yeah, it's really hard not to do that. And if I try not to do that, I end up bumping into more stuff. So I totally understand what you're saying there. And you don't want people to be mad at you for doing just the basic things you need to do to navigate, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I just hope people will like understand, you know, hey, I'm blind. This person is blind and they need to feel around in order to navigate. It's their thing and it's their way of ensuring that they don't injure themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, things are going to be interesting. And it's also been hard for me to plan for the future as well, because I don't really, with me not really knowing what I want to do after high school, but then also just losing motivation, because what if this gets worse? What if everything shuts down again? Then nothing's going to happen. Like, I don't really know. So maybe I'm being a bit over anxious, because I know some people have been, I guess, kind of hoping for things to be normal again, but like, I don't really know. It's uncertain. The unknowns are kind of just making me just, you know, just not think about things and wait till I hear stuff before I actually think about it.
Yeah, I think a lot of us are feeling that anxiety and not a fan of the uncertainty.
yeah.
Nika, you said you kind of changed your career path. Was that partly because of having to go online and COVID? Is there a connection there?
Not exactly. So kind of just doing music in high school, I was always kind of okay at it. And I thought it would be the same experience in university. And then doing music at a university level, I just realized I don't really have the mental fortitude. I don't really have what it takes to handle kind of the intensity of the program. And then after taking a veganism and sustainability course, I realized that kind of what I really want to do is help people in terms of nutrition and naturopathic medicine. So that's kind of the path that I'm more interested in following now.
Do you think that those courses will be a little easier to do online?
This is the hard thing. And this is the reason why I didn't transfer, because I don't think I can do science online. I was going to take biology courses in the summer before the pandemic was announced. And then I had to drop everything because I wasn't comfortable doing sciences online. And this is why, you know, this semester I'm taking courses like psychology and nutrition online that are more reading based and don't have any diagrams or any lab components.
Mm-hmm. I know I've been thinking a lot about kids that are blind that are still learning Braille. How would they do that on, you know, from a distance or even in school with a vision teacher who has to stay 2 meters away? Like,
yeah, because like when I was learning Braille, you know, I would do hand over hand stuff at the beginning when I was little.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be tough for lots of people. Is there any, I feel like we need to end on a positive if we can at all. are there any advantages to online versus in person? And you mentioned not having to commute, which is kind of nice. I think it saves some time.
It does. I mean, you can still get up and get dressed. And if the weather is terrible outside, you can be like, yeah, I'll just grab my cup of tea or coffee and mm-hmm. I'm ready to go and I don't have to go out in the rain. That's yeah. Which we get yeah, a lot of nice anyway thing. Yeah,
you can multitask, you can throw a load of laundry in and then do your class and then put it in the dryer and do the next class, right?
Or you can eat in the class without your professor knowing.
Oh yeah.
And Shauna, what you're saying too, you like if you have course readings, whether it's textbooks or just additional articles, because publishing loves to have so many articles, that you can, again, multitask by like doing dishes or cooking or what cleaning your house or whatever while you listen to those readings.
Totally.
And I find if I'm like I need my hands to constantly be busy. So I move a lot as I sit, like whether it's my legs or my like hands or something. I just get kind of fidgety and need to move. So I found like sitting in a lecture, like in a, cause our lecture halls are like 500 seats, like it's huge. So like you're right in the middle of a sea of people and like you're trying not to move around and fidget too much. So for me, like I can move around and like do whatever I want as much as I as I want while I'm in lecture or doing readings or anything like that. So I'm kind of excited about that. And also just like, if it is really gross and raining out, like my bus ride is literally only 10 minutes away from my school. So it's really not bad, but I don't have to worry about standing out in the rain waiting for the bus to come. So yes, that's going to be nice. And then also just learning the technology that I don't already know, that's going to be, I'm kind of forced into that, but it'll be a good thing overall. So.
Right. Way to put a positive spin on that.
Yeah.
I like that. It's true. I think the not having to commute is going to really be a thing when we hit the bad weather, right? Mm-hmm. So it's doesn't right now, it's like, I want to get outside. And actually, like today, I'm planning to do a workout or a walk in the middle of the day, because I can do that because I'm at home and, you know, I could flex my schedule a little bit, which is awesome. But when it's like really dark and dreary and rainy, maybe I won't mind that I didn't leave the house that day. Yeah. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
So all my courses are online, but they're specifically work at your own pace courses. So set lectures. So it's literally anyone can do the test at whatever time of day they want.
Oh, that's so nice. Yeah, because I know like my...
They might make them more difficult in that case.
Yeah, maybe, actually.
Because they know they're going to be open book anyway. So.
Yeah, but it's so nice, you know, I can just like read my notes, have like my Braille display open, do it on my computer.
Yeah, that's fair. So I know mine are going to be... all of my exams and quizzes are timed or like time limits.
Yeah.
Right. So for, and like even like before all this happened, I would get extra time for the exams, especially if there's lots of charts and diagrams, depending on the course that it was. So I know that even though everything's online and so will the exams and quizzes, I still get that extra time. So I don't have to worry about like fumbling around with the technology and wasting time trying to navigate. They're still going to give me that extra time for exams. So I'm really grateful for that because I would be kind of screwed if that wasn't the case. So, yeah.
Maybe just before we wrap up, just curious if you guys have any strategies, any advice, anything to offer anyone who's feeling some of the uncertainty and anxiety and worries about going back to school. Anything that you have incorporated that helps you kind of be ready for this new adventure?
So I've been doing a lot of kind of meditating. I'm kind of really into the whole, I don't know, new age thing. So I've been doing like tarot cards and astrology and crystals, and who knows if it's actually real and if it works, but it makes me feel like I know what's going to happen. I can pretend that I know what's going to happen next, and it kind of gives me some security.
Nice.
I know for me, especially just relating to school, because that's pretty much all I'm going to be doing for the rest, the next, 4 months or so, is that, like, for me, I take all, whether it's writing a paper or, like, reading a textbook chapter, whatever it is, I kind of take it one paragraph at a time. So whether it's, if it's writing a paper, I'll do one paragraph, take a break, and then go back and continue on each paragraph that way. And same with reading. I typically end up reading, because my textbook chapters are like 20 plus pages, so it's a lot, and reading it with voiceover is very boring and monotone and tedious, and I get distracted because I'm not interested in the, like the voice makes me not interested, so I tend to read about 5 pages at a time. So I'll read 5 pages and then take a break and then go back, read 5 more, take a break, on and on until I'm done that chapter. So I think just kind of like taking it slow and easy and not, like doing whatever you can to not get overwhelmed and stressed out is what I've been trying to do, because I had a really hard time with that last semester. Is there just so much, I guess the whole past year of school, there's just so much going on, just with like the schools being, or the, sorry, the classes being really difficult, or the instructors and TAs being really uncooperative, and then COVID, and then like some family stuff. It just, one thing after another piled on. and it got really stressful and overwhelming, and I did awful in my classes, and it was just a really rough year. So like, just that, taking all of that into consideration going into this new semester, plus the online aspect and COVID and everything, mm-hmm. for me, I just need to take it slow and do only a handful of things at a time. So whether just working on one paragraph on a paper at a time, or just reading 5 pages, take a break on and on until I'm done. That is what really works for me. So
that's great advice. I was just listening to a podcast yesterday, and they were talking about, if you think about a marathon, which I don't even know how many miles that is, but it's an insane amount of miles that you have to run. You can't run as fast as you can from beginning to end. In mm-hmm. fact, the goal is to run at 60% in order to finish, right? You have to stay at 60% effort in order to get through it. And I feel like this pandemic is like a marathon. And if we go full on, like, we're going to fizzle out. We're just not going to make it. So yeah, scaling it back, like C plus effort in order to get your way through.
Exactly. Yeah.
I have to agree with Jill. For me, what really helped was, and still is, taking things one at a time. And, you know, if you have, you know, you have multiple things coming up, you know, it's common to have projects due from different classes on the same day. And that's always super, super stressful. So again, taking each project one, you know, one at a time, and not trying to do them all at once, because things are just going to fall apart if you try doing it that way. And that's how I got through the last semester. Was just like, I had, you know, I had a huge paper due. I had my portfolio for my music therapy audition due. Everything was due in the same week, and I had to really pace myself and work on, you know, one thing at a time. And I have to finish off that one thing. I don't start a new project until I have my first one finished off.
Same.
Because I get frustrated, and I feel like I don't like
together.
Leaving, yeah. I don't like leaving things halfway through and starting on a new, I'm the same way when I read books too, funny enough. I always have to finish. Same. And then just going back to what Ella was saying, actually, you know, when you're traveling, when you're moving around and you're feeling things, I have a bottle of alcohol spray, and it's in a spray bottle, which I find really convenient. So I find it easy to spray things if I'm going to be touching, you know, door handles or things like that. For me at Res, I will be sharing showers and bathrooms with the rest of the floor. So, you know, I have to be a bit more careful just generally. So maybe that's being a bit too paranoid, but I'm, you know, I feel safer having my spray bottle with me.
Oh, and yeah.
Being able to spray surfaces down if I need to.
Yeah. I'm carrying hand sanitizer in my purse, and
yeah,
I'm definitely. Just every time I take a SkyTrain or a bus, I'm if I've touched something, I'm applying more.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same.
I basically just the way, because at least for April through June and whatnot, we didn't have any Zoom meetings. I mean, I think some schools may have had a few of them, but teachers would basically just send us stuff through Google Classroom. So basically we would have to do our work whenever. This is either a serious issue for people because it's hard like for them to like hold themselves accountable, or it is a non-issue because they like the flexibility. I'm definitely the latter. I liked the flexibility. Main thing is that sometimes I had trouble motivating myself to do things. I'd say with a lot of things that I don't like, I have a tendency to put them off and procrastinate them on forever and ever, and then wind up wasting time on the internet. So basically I would just do schoolwork and then spend the rest of the day on whatever my mind desires, whether it's being on the internet or practicing or whatever.
I would also say that kind of feeding off of what Ella was just saying, that to take time to do the things that you do enjoy. So for me, like, I love reading, which is great because I'm going into publishing. But I also love like cooking and I don't know, just sitting out on my balcony in the sun and watching Netflix and just, I don't know, chatting with my friends and stuff. So I feel like to not get burnt out and just to, because it is such a weird time for everyone, that just take the time to do the things that you enjoy and you know that's going to, you're going to be relaxed and you're going to have fun and enjoy what you're doing. I think that's also really important, is just to find time throughout your day just to relax and do little things that you enjoy so you don't get burnt out and stressed out and like overwhelmed. Because yeah. I know if I don't, I get like super panicky and stressed and like I'm just getting really just burnt out and not wanting to do anything at all. Mm-hmm. So even if it is just like reading a chapter of your book before you go to bed, it relaxes you. It like you're doing something you enjoy. So that's something else I think I really have been trying to do for myself.
Lots of great advice and strategies. I hope you all have an awesome back to school. I hope it goes as well as it can and that you guys learn lots and enjoy yourselves and that we make it through this.
Yeah.
I'm sure we will. You've been listening to Limitless, the Blind Beginnings podcast. I'm Sean Marcellet. Join us next time.
For more information on Blind Beginnings and its mission to inspire and support children and youth who are blind or partially sighted and their families, visit www.blindbeginnings.ca.